I've really enjoyed being here this morning. Been thinking about y'all, and last Sunday morning didn't have anything on our heart to preach, and just kind of felt like visiting. Me and Ansley had got to talking, and we got in the car and was headed towards Welcome Valley and ended up at Mountain View. We've just been thinking about y'all, I guess, and it gets confusing sometimes, I guess, as a preacher, because I don't know, I'm peculiar in some ways. Some ways I'm not. I think every preacher's probably got some things that are a little bit weird about them, I guess, and I've got mine too. But sometimes I just want to go visit somewhere. And sometimes you come in and you just need fed. But I know that pastors, a lot of times when they see somebody come in, especially a young preacher, think, well, he's got something, I better put him up. And I always pray they do some real discerning, because sometimes I just needed to get preached to. I need that a lot. A lot more than I ever get up behind this book board. I need fed. And I'm strange. Like I said, there's things that's peculiar about me that y'all probably wouldn't even agree with. But a lot of times when I go preach somewhere, or somebody asked me to come, and Randy had got me at the back door and said he'd been thinking about me and saving my phone call, asked me to come back this Sunday. But I'm weird. I don't go to Sunday school when I visit. When I visit, a lot of times I don't. And y'all may think that's weird. I don't know why I don't. I found throughout my ministry, I'm already scared to death enough as it is, and I'm already trying to discern what I'm supposed to preach, and usually I'll get in some Sunday school lesson, and by the time it's time for me to preach, I don't even know which way's up. And I get more thoughts, and also I've heard some pretty outlandish things in some Sunday schools, if I'm just being honest with you. And I enjoyed what Brother Bruce brought this morning, and it went right along with what we were supposed to preach. So maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. That's just the way I've been for the last, I don't know, I've been preaching next month 10 years, and that's hard for me to believe, because I don't know why the Lord uses me in the first place. But it's been a wonderful time over the last 10 years walking with the Lord. And I'm pretty full this morning, and I'm going to try to preach. I was thinking about, as Susan was talking about, that peace that the Lord brings. And I'm not going to preach on this, but Whitney sings that song, and she might even sing it with Susan and them, and I don't remember exactly what the word says, but it says something about that he's my soul's inspiration. And I believe he's my heart's consolation. Is that what the words are? I don't know why I've been thinking about that this whole week, and that ain't what we're going to preach on, but I've been thinking about that a lot when Susan said it. I'm thankful that's what he is for me. And if you've ever tried to explain to somebody when you're in the hardest times of your life how the Lord brought you through, usually you can't really figure out the words. Yeah. It's hard. It is. I understand. There's things I don't understand in this book. There's 66 books worth, and probably there's plenty of them that I mean, there's just things I ain't figured out yet. But if there's ever words that's ever rang true in that scripture, it's a peace that passeth all understanding. I don't get it, Randy. I really don't. You ever tried to explain to somebody just what you felt like when you got saved, or how the Lord brought you through something? You about sound silly by the time you get through with it. Really, the only words you say, I don't know, just like what Susan said, just try him. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know. I feel like that man for 33 years. I don't know. I can't tell you who he is or what he is. All I know is I was blind and now I see. That's all I can tell you. Yeah. A lot of times I feel like Brother Roger Hooker. I'd love to call myself a preacher or any of this, but just like Roger says, I'm just a beggar trying to tell another beggar where to find bread. That's all I want to do this morning. I just want to tell you where you can come get some help from. He'll help you. He will. He's helped me, I'm telling you. I think a lot of people look at Maybe our young preachers or even preachers around, and they think, boy, they probably live just a perfect life. That's why they're being used. Boy, if you saw me in the slums of this world, y'all wouldn't let me come in these doors. If y'all saw where I've been through, you'd feel a lot better about yourself, I promise.
Bless your heart.
I didn't come here to tell you how wrong you are. I'm just going to come and tell you about somebody how right he is.
Yeah.
And you can work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
Yeah. Amen. Listen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know. I played King Nebuchadnezzar in our Christmas play. And our Christmas play was about the whole book, a lot of the book of Daniel. And I really appreciate John D. Ford. I really do. He sits down in about this time every year, and he writes these Christmas plays. And I mean, they're biblically based. He writes them. Some of them's word for word. Most of the scripture I had to, or lines I had was super, super long, and they were straight right out of the scripture. And he asked me to play King Nebuchadnezzar, and I whine and complain every year when he gives me a role, and it seems like he gives me more lines every year. And I tell him how busy I am in the holidays and all these things, and I don't guess it matters. He keeps giving me more. But he asked me to play King Nebuchadnezzar, and I love the book of Daniel. I do. I love the book of Daniel. There's so much meat in there. There's so much in there. I mean, absolutely. From them first five or six books about the Hebrew children being brought into Babylon, all the way into some real key answers that you can have some great liberty in your life, doctrinally speaking, I guess you could say. And me playing Nebuchadnezzar, usually when I get done with a Christmas play, I just dump all my lines. I don't remember none of them. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you what the play was about last year. I just dump it. But I just kept thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know why. And I had a thought come by, and I told Ansley, we had went and ate with some friends last night and all this, and I told her, I said, I ain't got a single thought for tomorrow. I felt pretty good, but I don't have a single thought. And a lot of times it takes some scratching and clawing and digging, and just within about 3 or 4 minutes of me kind of reading some different scripture, my girls was playing there on the floor and they were being real loud, and I said, Lord, I can't even focus. They're in here loud. And the Lord told me, they said, just read to them. So I told them, I said, y'all about to go to bed, put your toys down, I'm going to read. So I said, what do y'all want to hear? And my youngest said, she says it every time, anytime I ever ask her anything like that, she says, I want to hear about how Jesus died on the cross for us and our sins. She's 4 years old. There's people 30, 40, 50 years old that ain't figured that out. And my oldest, she said, I want to hear about Daniel in the lion's den. I was already thinking about Daniel, so I started reading it to her. And it wasn't about 10 minutes after they went to bed, Lord just started talking to me. Talking to me like I was talking to them, if I'm being honest. Felt like I was sitting in the floor and he was preaching a message to me. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out what all I want to try to get out that I feel like the Lord's given me, but I sure want to try. I don't know if I'm even going to read, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how this is going to go. I've just got some thoughts that I was thinking on in some different places here in the book of Daniel. We know here in the very first chapter, I'm probably going to preach probably 3 or 4 chapters, and I ain't going to read all that, and I ain't going to get into all of it, but I've got a thought. I want you to think about this thought. The Lord passed by last night, and this is what he gave me. And I don't even know where I'm going to read at. I sat there, and I circled some verses of some things that I thought that we may preach on or what, but I don't know how this is going to go. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you something very important. Respecting God is not trusting God. Now think about that. Respecting God is not trusting him. Think about that. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
When the Lord passed by, I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like he hit me right between the eyes.
Yeah.
You can respect God and still not trust him. King Nebuchadnezzar, we know, is one of the most famous men in all of history, not just the Bible, in history. There's still books written about him, about the richest man in Babylon. That is, it's a financial book. That's how much Nebuchadnezzar's written about. Very popular, very famous, taught in children's Sunday school classes all the way to adult Sunday school classes and preached on probably all around the country about his life and the things that he did. But there's some key things about Nebuchadnezzar that I got to thinking about last night. You know, Nebuchadnezzar respected God but never trusted in him. There's scripture after scripture after scripture to back that up. That ain't nothing I'm making up. Here in the book of Daniel, there's a point where Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And he wants this dream interpreted. And he asks all the soothsayers and the magicians and all the different people of the Chaldeans. He asked them, he said, y'all come in here. And they come in and he makes a commandment and a demand that nobody had ever made in all of history. We know that because that's the way they respond whenever he asks them. He said, I want to know this interpretation. I want to know the dream. And if y'all don't, I'll kill you. I'll burn your houses and all of it will be dunghill. Is something along those lines. But if you do, I'll make you rich beyond measure. They said, no way in history, King, has there ever been somebody that would make that sort of commandment against somebody. To say that they would just kill him if they could. How in the world? There's nobody, they said, there's no man on earth that could ever do this thing. And we know that time goes on in different things, and Captain Arioch goes, and he's talking to the different ones, and Daniel, we know, says, I'll tell him the dream. You send me in there, I'll tell him the dream. He goes in there and he tells King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, flesh and blood, something, you know, it won't reveal, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically tells him, he said, but there's a God in heaven that can tell. I'll tell you exactly what your dream is. You let me get a hold of God. We know that he tells him the dream and tells him everything. And we know that he responds in something very important here. And after he gets done telling him, he says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, and made him a ruler over the province of Babylon. And it goes on, and he does the same thing for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel sat in his gates, is what it says there in the scripture. Now, as that continuously goes down, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar respects this God, right? He respects the God. He said, that's unbelievable. Even my highest people that was close to me, they couldn't even do it. But this Hebrew, this Jew that we've captured, basically a slave that we've brought, this man could get a hold of it through his God. And he said, this God is a God of gods. There's two of them that are capital G and the last one's lowercase. Your God is a God of gods. Now in this time they had many gods. They did. They put many gods up. But he said, this God is a God of gods. He's a revealer of secrets. So he respected what this God could do and what Daniel was able to do through God, but still didn't trust him, right? It doesn't say that he now took all other gods through all of Babylon and threw them in the dumpster. We know that he gets that secret and reveals all of that to him. He trusts him, but he didn't. He respected him, but he didn't trust him. Now, as soon as he gets this, and we know that this entire thing that he's telling him about is this, it's his statue, is what Nebuchadnezzar's seeing. He's got his feet of iron and clay and the stone that rolls and breaks it all down. We know that. You can go and read it. It's in Daniel chapter number 2 if you want to read it. He tells him all about this great statue that was going to be set up. So Nebuchadnezzar tells Captain Arioch, what in the world do you think we're going to do? We're going to build this statue. Make it all gold. Make it all perfect. And everybody's going to come and bow down. And when the music plays, they'll worship me. I ain't preaching nothing new. Y'all heard this story. And those three Hebrew boys, we know they didn't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He tells them, We won't serve your God. No matter what happens, we will not serve your gods, what one of them tells him. Now we know that he says we're going to fire up the furnace 7 times hotter than before. We know that it kills the captain that tries to get near the furnace. And them 3 Hebrew boys, we know the story in that wonderful scripture that said, did we not cast 3 men into the fire? But lo, I see 4 men walking unhurt. And they don't even have binds on anymore. They don't even smell like smoke. Their clothes don't even look like they've been touched by fire. And he says something right here, right at the very end of that exact scripture. After he goes through, he answered, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire and hurt. But then it says this, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and tongue which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill before there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the province of Babylon. Showed him respect. Respected their God, but never trusted in him. Them 3 Hebrew boys, did they respect God or did they trust him? See, there was a lot of people out there underneath that statue that respected their God, but they didn't trust in him. But those 3 who said, I'm not bowing a knee, I'm not getting down, that's what's trust. Now, it's easy for us to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, boy, I'd be standing right next to them. But in all reality of our life, the way that we live, we respect God in a lot of ways, but still don't trust him. Amen. See, just like Susan said, and I totally agree with what she said, one of the hardest things to do in our lives, for some reason, even as Christians, is give God everything. Amen. Let him see the very infirmities of our heart. We were talking about Paul in Sunday school. He said, I glory in my infirmities. Yeah. How in the world? Yeah. Is that what Americans do? Is that what us as a mankind does? Is we say, look at all my weaknesses. Every time you get to a job interview and they say, tell me a strength and a weakness about yourself. Boy, they'll spit a strength out. But when you get to a weakness, you got to figure out a way to navigate that one a little bit. Because you sure don't say, well, I don't really much like going to church. Well, I don't much like praying. Well, I don't much really care about reading my Bible. If you sit down with God and he asks you what your greatest weakness is, it'd be real hard to sit there and say, well, God, I'll be honest with you, I just don't really care about going that much. But if we were honest, see, it's easy for us to all look and say, boy, I wish the lost would get saved. Well, I wish the saved would take a step forward and get closer to God. Maybe the lost would want more than what we had if we would take a step forward with God. Maybe they're waiting on us to stand up during the music and say, I'm not bowing a knee. Maybe that's what's happened. Maybe us as church members have looked too much like the world that the lost don't even know which way they're supposed to go. Maybe that's been the problem. I don't know. There's a lot of us that respect God, but we don't trust him all the time. It is difficult. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, is what the book says. It's not always easy that when we've got problems and we've got hardships and we need help, it's not always easy just to lay it all down to God. Amen. Even being saved, even as an ordained Baptist minister, there's times in my life that even it's hard for me to bow down and say, God, look at what all I've done. I'm sorry. But it's the best medicine we could ever take. It's repentance. Repentance. Repentance is what? Pride and repentance is the 2 things that keeps us from getting closer to God. Well, what will everybody else think? Yeah, do you respect God or do you trust him? Because trusting means you'd put your life in his hands. Respecting him means, well, I'm here. I'm here. I believe enough about him that I'll at least show up and sing and hear about him preached. But trusting him means that when the darkest times of your life comes and when hardships come and you don't know which way to go, all you do is hit your knees and say, God, you lead me. Amen. About like Paul wrote, whether I live, I live. Whether I die, I die. I am the Lord's. That's where we've got to get to in our life. That's what trust is. We don't just respect God and say, God, it'd be real nice if you could help me out over here. Talking about, does God hear us? God hears more than you ever pray. Let that sink in. God will hear more than you ever say to Him.
Amen.
You think God don't hear you? It said that His ear's not too heavy, that His hand's not too short. God hears every cry, every plea, and everything on need that you need in your life. He hears them. Well, why in the world don't He just fix it right on the buckle as soon as I cry out and pray? That's where faith comes in.
Yeah.
That's where trusting Him comes in.
Amen.
I respect Him enough to get down, but do I trust Him that He can help me?
Amen.
Think about it this morning. You trusting or you respecting? I mean, that's a fair question. That's not out of line. I've shown God respect many a times and still didn't fully trust Him.
Amen.
Preacher, what in the world are you saying? You're up here preaching to us, telling us that. I'm honest today. There's been plenty of times in my life I respected God enough to give it to Him and pray to Him, but I didn't put my full trust that He'd help me. Ask me how many of them prayers I've seen answered. Zero. God knows the very intentions of our heart and the very hairs on our head. He's more personal than your own spouse.
Amen.
He's more personal than your own brother or sister. He's more personal than anybody you work with.
Amen.
He knows everything about you. Try to hide it and see if it don't get found out. Sure, your pastor may not find out. The deacons may not find out. You can hide what you want to, but God knows.
Amen.
Undefeated hide and seek champion.
Yeah.
That's God Himself. Don't matter what you try to hide from Him. Just like when they went down into Jericho and everybody thought everything was good and grand. Boy, Achan hid some sin in the camp. Nobody else knew it. Nobody else knew it. And you'd think Achan would have learned his lesson. He respected God but didn't trust Him. He took what he thought was his, hid it in the middle of his tent, and nobody knew, Bruce.
Yeah.
I bet his family slept in there. He had a family because they died because of this. But he hid there in the center of the camp in front of everybody. And God went tribe by tribe, household by household, nation. I don't remember what all it was, but it got all the way down to just him and Achan. Maybe that's what God's doing with you this morning. Maybe you've been able to sit in church house and church house. Maybe you've been able to sit on pew by pew. Maybe it's got down to family by family. Maybe He's crawled up in the pew with you this morning and said, it's you.
Amen.
You respecting or you trusting today? Now, we'd love to knock King Nebuchadnezzar out here. We would. We'd love to knock him, but we're the same way. We'd love to knock him and say, well, I don't understand why he didn't just trust in God at that point. Boy, we're the same way. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel told him it. Even came true. They built a statue. Them boys did not bow down. Came out the fiery furnace. You'd think he'd throw his hands up and say, these boys are on to something. I think I'm going to cast away. No, nothing else has ever worked out for us, but boy, this is working out pretty good. For them, maybe I should put my hope and trust in Him. That's what we do. Yeah, we hear the shouts inside the church. We see the blessings being poured out. And we think because we're amongst them, we're a part of that too.
Yeah.
There's a difference in respect
Amen.
And trust.
Amen.
They get all the way to that point. And he even makes a decree, I will kill you and your family if you say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's a God of gods, a revealer of secrets. But yet, he's got another time. And we see it working on him some, right? Because the next time it comes around, we know the lion's den, we know all that. But as it comes around the next time, he's got another image, another dream from God. And he did learn a little bit, right? We learn a little bit. And you can still learn and respect God without trusting Him.
Amen.
Trust is different.
Amen.
And during this time of Nebuchadnezzar learning some things, he says, well, I've had another dream. Go down there and get Daniel. And he tells Daniel when he comes in there, I know that you know the God of the Holy, it's something about the Holy God, and we know that you're blessed by Him, and you can see these things. We know those. So tell me my dream. And Nebuchadnezzar tells him this dream. And he said, I see a tree that's tall that everyone can see. It stretches all the way into the heavens. Says the beast could hide amongst that of the shadow. Said its leaves were fair and fruit for all. Beautiful tree. Then he said a holy one from God gets sent down and hews that tree and cuts that tree down to a stump level with that of the beast. He said, and he heard a voice come from heaven that he would have that of a heart of beast and 7 years should pass. What in the world does this dream mean? And there's more to it. But Daniel tells him, it's you, King. That's you. And he tells him, he even pleads with him. That's what I appreciate about Daniel. Daniel could have looked at this man and thought, boy, I hope God does that to him. But Daniel, he pleads with him. This is exactly what he says. I circled this one. Let me see if I can find it. He says, and Nebuchadnezzar starts out right there. He said, and this is where he learned some things. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Listen right here. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. Now, did you hear what I said? He said, mighty is his wonders. Now listen to what he says in just a minute. He says, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. He tells this whole dream. Daniel, he pleads with him right here. He said, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee and break off thy sins. That's what he said to the king of all of Babylon, one of the richest men in the world. Break off thy sins. He said, by righteousness and thine iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Then it says, all this came unto the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built by my might, by my power? That's what he said. Do you understand how many times God's blessed you in your life? Gave you the ability to sing songs and preachers to preach messages and lay members to testify outside these walls. Do you know how many times that he's helped that we look and say, boy, that's pretty good. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear that quote I used right there? Did you see what all ChatGPT cooked up for my Sunday school lesson? Did you see what all I did? That was pretty good, wasn't it? Did you hear what I told so-and-so over there at the water cooler about how good God is? Did y'all hear what I said? It's easy for us to try to steal the glory from God. But shame on us. Now, does that come without tax? Sure don't. I'm going to tell you what happens is, spiritually speaking, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You get in the way of pride. You get in the way of thinking that you're the one that did it and you're the one that fixed it up. Go pastor somewhere and people start pouring in. Well, look, God's really using me. Pride comes before what? Not a promotion. Not a success. Not a shout out on Facebook. Before the fall. When we build ourselves up, the Bible's very clear. We're supposed to what? Decrease that he may increase. It's very, very easy for us to get in the way of God's glory by us feeling pretty good about ourselves. Oh, preacher, I don't do that. Boy, I've done it before. I have. There's been times in my life I have. I remember when I first started preaching, I'd get down from the pulpit, and if I felt like God really used me, I'd think, boy, I really preached that one, Daniel. Shame on me. I remember I'd been preaching about 2 years, and I'll never forget. I remember coming off the pulpit thinking, boy, that's the best message I've ever preached. And I remember getting to the back door, and people come through and shook my hand like, what in the world did you even just say? And there's been times in my life that I got up there with absolutely nothing and did nothing but cry and utter a few words about how good God is, and people start hitting the altar and hugging the neck. You know why? Because it ain't me, Brother Bruce. Amen. Well, preacher, you should have figured that out in your first year or two. Well, I didn't. I'm hard-headed. It took me about 10 years to figure out that I'm absolutely nothing. He's absolutely everything. And the longer that I serve him, the sweeter that he grows. Everything you buy in this world, it'll depreciate every day. But boy, it appreciates every single day with God. Everything I've got that he's given me gets newer every day. He shows me something else and I say, thank you, God. I've said it many a times. When I hit that altar and I got saved, he gave me the tool belt and it had everything in it that I needed to be successful in this life. But I didn't know how to use them all. You strap a tool belt on me right now and send me on top of a house to put a roof on or whatever, and it's going to take me a couple tries. I don't know how to use everything inside that tool belt. It's the same way with God. You know, when we figure it out, when we get on the job training, there's times in our lives that we got to figure out what we're supposed to figure out in that time by trusting in God. He gave us a manual of 66 books, but it don't always let me know that I'm supposed to use it for that time and that place. You know why? It's better for us to get on the job training from somebody that knows all about it. Yeah. I've watched you, Brother Randy, and watched how you pastor. Hey, if somebody called me to come and pastor and God led me that way and I took that church and I was their pastor, do you know what? I'd probably look a lot like Stephen Moore. Do you know why? I look up to that man. I see the way that he leads his church. I watch you, Brother Randy, the way you lead your church. And you say, boy, you out there watching men? I'm sure not. But there's men I look up to. There's men that I hold values. There's men that I do idolize in some ways. You say, you shouldn't do that. I don't hang on you every word, Brother Randy. And I'll fact check you sometimes if something don't feel right. But there's men that you can watch in this walk of life that's going the right way that I want to do the same thing, Brother Jeff. I'm going to stay with this book and not a man, but there's people that I look up to that I've seen the way they've led things and done things the right way. Respecting God ain't trusting Him. He tells that whole thing, makes that big decree, and all those things happen. You think, why in the world would he not just be, not at this time, wouldn't have been a Christian, but at least believed in God, put his hope and trust in Him, said, these people are onto something. Maybe I enslaved them, but really I'm a slave. Maybe really what they got's what I need. Maybe we brought them in here for such a time as this. Maybe we should hear what they've got to say. Maybe we should follow their God. But pride comes before the fall. Nebuchadnezzar gets up there, says, boy, look at the palaces. Look at the temples. Look at all that I've conquered. Surely it's me. Look at everything that I've done. And he hears a voice. His time's come, his kingdom should pass, and all these things. And he falls down and becomes that of a beast. Dew settling on his fur in the mornings and all those things. We do the same thing spiritually. When we get in the way between us and God, boy, the next time I'm telling, and I talked about it last Sunday, there ain't an alcoholic that woke up one day and thought, boy, I'm just gonna absolutely have to put all my hope and trust in alcohol. There ain't a drug addict that said, I think I'm gonna wake up and I'm just gonna be strung out one day. I think that's what I wanna do. There ain't nobody that's homeless living under a bridge that woke up in their home one day and said, boy, I think I'd like to live under a bridge. Yeah. Preacher, are you putting down on that? I'm sure not. What I'm trying to say is sin is the same way. Amen. All it takes is just a little bit. All it takes is just a, well, I'll miss here. Well, I'll miss there. Oh, I don't need to read today. Or, boy, I hadn't done this or I hadn't done that. And it don't take long to get out of shape between you and God. Amen. Bruce was talking about in Sunday school when I said, one of the writers described that he had a fire shut up in his bones, talking about a relationship between him and God. That's what it felt like. I've been in that shape. You know where else I've also been? About like a valley of dry bones. I've been in that shape too. I've been in a spot where I've been so close and so close to that fire and think, Lord, I don't even know how it's not burning me, but I'm enjoying it. I can eat here. I can get warm. There's a lot that can happen right there by the fire. But I've also been so far out in the woods that I turn around and I look and all I see is a little flicker. And that's been my relationship with God. I've been cold, I've been lonely, and I've been in the dark. But thank God my light never went out. Thank God it's still there, Brother Randy. Thank God God didn't pour water on it and say, well, on to the next one. Thank God He just said, you come on back, throw another log on. I'll warm you up. I'll be there for you. And in the hardest times of your life, I'll feed you too. Ain't that what He did for them boys on the boat? They just got out of a storm and a hardship. By the time they got to Him, He said, boys, I got fish on the fire for you. That's what He does for me. I don't know about you, but He sure does it for me. Your respect needs to become trust this morning. Amen. I thought about Joshua and Caleb. I thought about how that's one of the biggest stories in all of Scripture about them coming out of Egypt. It is. And when you think about that God led them over dry ground and they sang and they went out and they did all the things in manna from heaven and all that they had been through, the golden calf,
wandering in the wilderness, doing all those things and seeing the promised land, and Moses not going the exact way he was supposed to go with God about the rock and smoting and speaking. All that they had been through. When it came down to it and they said, there's the land. I'm going to send Joshua and Caleb in there.
Yeah.
Now there was a lot of youth up here this morning singing. Raise your hand if you're under 20 years old in here. Yeah. Raise your hand if you're over 20 years old in here. Now everybody that's under 20, look around. Do you know what happened? You can put your hand down. Do you know what happened in the wilderness? Everybody over the age of 20 perished. Yeah. And was not allowed to go in. That's the majority of what's in here. That's who you follow. That's your deacons. That's your pastor. That's your parents. That's your grandparents. That's some of the older brothers and sisters that you got. Over 20. That's high school and down. Think about that. You're on your own, and you can't just at that point respect your parents and respect God. At that point, it calls faith and trust.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you something, church. If you're under 20 years old and you put yourselves in those shoes, would you say, I'm going to continue to follow God too? I'm going to do as my forefathers did. Think about that. That's 90% of your church in here. 10% of you is getting to go in. The rest of you has got to perish just due to some disobedience. Joshua and Caleb got sent in. There's 10 spies. Now, we love to put down on 8 of them. We do. We put down on 8 of them because they brought back a bad report. And they said, in our eyes, we are as grasshoppers. There's no way there's giants in that land. We can't handle that. We get in the same shape where we forget how big our God is.
Amen.
Yeah, we forget what trust feels like sometimes between us and God. We got to go back to them old familiar markers.
Amen.
Say, boy, God's good. I need to stick with this. But I'm going to tell you something. What's sad? 2 out of 10. Was it 10 or 12 spies? 12 of them. I'm sorry. I just thought of that. 10 of them had that bad report. The majority had a bad report. Now think about that.
Yes.
Think about that. Two out of the 12 came back and said, look what we've got.
Yep.
Everybody else brought words. They brought proof. They trusted in God, Daniel. They trusted in God enough to say, we ain't worried. Do y'all not hear what happened just a few years back?
Yes.
Do you not hear how y'all cried about manna? You cried about wanting something else and wanting dove. Did you not remember how he brought us out of bondage across that dry ground? Do you not believe in that? That's what happens every Sunday behind every pulpit to every church and every lost member of the whole world. It's just trying to say, do you not know how good God is? Well, come and try him, Susan.
Amen.
Just come try him. There's a lot of respect around God. But not a lot of trust.
Amen.
Do you know what? There's a scripture for that.
Yeah.
And I'm not ripping this out of context. He said, that's having a form of godliness.
Amen.
But denying the power thereof.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Yeah, they have a form of godliness. I'm telling you. Singers still sing. Preachers still preach. Deacons still uphold things inside the church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the power thereof, you can still respect God, but that ain't trusting Him.
Amen.
So, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Y'all come get a verse of a song. What are you withholding from God this morning? What are you withholding? Now, think about who you're withholding it from. You're withholding it from the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the author and finisher of our faith. That's who you're withholding it from, not just your spouse, not just your boss, not just your best friend. You're withholding from the Creator, the one who gave us very breath inside of our bodies, and salvation that we can get in that of our heart. That's who we withhold from. Do you know why Abraham was blessed? And this is not an opinion. I'm going to tell you exactly what the book says. The Bible says that when Abraham took Isaac up on top, that he didn't know exactly necessarily what was going to happen, but he trusted God would deliver him. Something would happen. Do you know what he said about it in that situation? He said Abraham was blessed. You know why? Because he did not withhold. Now think about that in our lives. Is God asking us to come lay our only child or our oldest child or youngest? Is He asking for us to come lay our child down here at Mountain View Baptist Church and get a knife and hold it up like you're going to stab your kid and sacrifice them? He's just asking that He wants a relationship with us, Jeff. He's just saying that what you've got withheld from me, what you've got hidden from me, what you think that has not gotten in between me and you, I just want you to come right down here and lay it all right here and go back the way I intended you to be. And that is with liberty. Because where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're outside the will of God, there is not liberty. And if you've never been saved, I promise you don't know what liberty is. You may think you're free in the United States of America. You go drive 110 on 75 on the way home, and you'll get pulled over and go to jail. That ain't liberty and freedom. But I'll tell you what is. It's being that of a child of the King. It's being that of being a blood-bought child of the King is liberty. So whatever you're withholding this morning, whatever you're holding back, I love that you're here and you showed enough respect to God. But do you trust Him? Do you trust Him with your life? We love to sing the song, He's my all in all. Every time I get in trouble, on Him I call. But do we really do that? Do we really do that? We can sing the songs. We can read it right out of the hymn book. We can read under a lamp at night. But we still withhold from God many times. So maybe this will be the first time, and Abram's probably tired of hearing me say this because I say it every single time I preach. Maybe this is the first time in your life you decided, I'm not going to play church. I'm not going to just be dressed up. I'm not going to just show up. And I'm not going to just hide behind the songbook or hold the baby or whatever you got to do to get out of going and getting right with God. And for the first time in your life, don't care about what anybody else says in here, what they think, because at the end of the night, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, it don't matter what Daniel thinks about you, it don't matter what Abram thinks about you, it don't matter what Jeff or Randy or anybody else thinks about you, it matters between are you right with God.
Amen.
When you cash out and take that last breath, I promise you won't think about Daniel, about Abram, about Randy. I promise you won't think about Bruce. You'll think, boy, am I exactly where I'm supposed to be between me and God. And just like Bruce taught this morning, if you are, boy, you'll have the biggest smile on your face, I believe, when you take that last breath. And just like Sister says, you'll know that you know that you know. So as we stand and we sing, do you respect Him? He appreciates respect. He does. That's worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. But if the truth is that you really don't trust Him yet, come put your trust in Him. Be the best thing you ever do. And there'll be times in your life that your faith wavers a little bit. You get a little shaky. The storms of life come, I promise. I'll tell you every single time, I say it about every time I preach, that if you've been saved and everything's been perfect, you better start praying because a storm's coming. But that's the purpose of God, right? Not just to just save you and give you a spot in eternity. It's that when the darkness comes, the light still shines. It's that when the storm's still rolling, rage, there's still an eye in the storm. There's hundreds of songs written about all of that. Because all they're trying to tell us in a bunch of words is, God's still good. Even when you're in the valley. God's still good when you lost your husband. God's still good when mama died. God's still good when aunts and uncles have cancer. God's still good no matter what's going on in your life. Because whether I live, I die, I am the Lord's. That's what you can say this morning. Maybe you need to come get saved. Maybe you were lost and undone and put it off for a long time. Come give it to Him today. If you got hardships in your life and you ain't been putting your trust and hope in Him and you've been trying to figure it out on your own, come give that to Him this morning. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. The best decision you've ever made. Let's stand and sing. Are you respecting Him or are you trusting Him this morning? What do you need? What do you need? He's got it. He's standing with open arms. Come get exactly what you stand in need of.